Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, this is Marty Oakley of the PPJ Gazette Online, and this is the TS Radio Network. I know you're all familiar with this, and I see our board is loading up quite rapidly here. We've got a really blockbuster show tonight. We've been following a young man named Harold Jackson and the work he has done. We'll get to that in just a minute. Co-hosting with me tonight, and I'm very thankful for it, is Tanya Hathaway, and many of you know her from her Sunday night show dealing with the corruption in Oklahoma, where she has caused quite a stir. Tanya, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. It's good to be here with you and Harold. Really looking forward to this podcast tonight.
I want to address a few things here before we bring Harold on. I've already received emails about why is he charging for this? If he really wants to help people, why isn't he just giving it away to him free? Now, I'm going to say something here that a lot of you aren't going to like, and I really don't care. You'll go out and pay an attorney $5, $10, $20, $30 grand to not represent you, to lie to you, to collude with the opposing attorney, the judge against you, who will stand in a courtroom and not say a word in your defense, will not move against any of these people. This man has put 5 years of work into this, assembling this, documenting it, making sure it's accurate, and putting it into a program that basically is set up ready to use for you. Now, for some of you who got really ugly about this, let me say this. For those of you who take this attitude, he should give it to me for free, you're the same people who wouldn't raise your hand without getting paid. Don't ask for a freebie. I'm tired of, I see stuff come through the email all the time of different groups asking for donations, some of them a minimum of 200, some of them a minimum of 500, and we all wish we had that kind of money to throw around. Seldom do we. And that is for general purposes. This man is offering you a specific program, very detailed, very well organized, very well documented. You will get your money's worth. So I don't want to hear the complaints about he should give it to us for free. Like I say, when you go to work for 5 years for free, you come let me know. I've been doing it for 11 years, and believe me, we're sitting in the poorhouse. But anyway, with that happening, I want to bring our guest on, Harold Jackson. Harold, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. Kind of in a mood here, Harold.
Aren't we all?
Yeah. And Tanya,
Marty the Spitfire, here she goes. I love it. She's got your back. She's got your back. But she's got everybody's back because she's so right. I mean, you know, I can't even begin to tell you. You could come out with $500,000 and pay an attorney thinking that's going to get you the proper defense that you want. But if he's on the wrong side, you know, that day, you know, if the judge favors this other attorney anyways, it doesn't matter whether you have zero or whether you have $500,000. I mean, how
right.
many of us that are listening right now can say how much money we have spent where attorneys have made matters worse? And I'm sure you're going to share with us tonight the successes behind this.
Yes. Harold, you have put together such a program. I've gone through it. It's unbelievable. It's truly unbelievable. And I want to say, for one thing, kudos for having done what you did. This is probably the most positive thing I've seen come along in a long time. This isn't your usual, let's write a letter to this legislator and hope they pay attention to it. This is actually a plan that will help people sidestep these kangaroo courts, these expensive attorneys that will sell you out. And, oh, I got a mail here that says he is practicing law without a license. There is a disclaimer right on the promo that says he is not an attorney and has never claimed to be one. And furthermore, you check the Constitution of the United States. Nowhere in there does it say you have to be a bar union member to utilize access the law. Nowhere does it say that. So
and our
on
Constitution.
That note, at any constitution, state or federal, you do not have to have a bar union card and belong to the good old boys club in order to access the law. The law says it will be applied equally to everyone. By extension, that means it will be available to everyone. So keep that in mind while you're doing your, and I'm sure you must have a JD behind your name or you wouldn't have written something so idiotic. But anyway, Harold, oh, Lord. It's been a day. Harold, talk to us. Give everybody who might be new to this a little primer on what you've put together here.
Okay, well, basically, my father was an attorney for 51 years. He went to World War II, and he came back in 47 and passed the bar in 50. And I'm trying to carry on his prior tradition. Basically, what this program is, my mother was, and I didn't choose to practice law, even though my family wanted me to, because I realized that it was a waste of time because the laws change every 5 minutes and nobody abides by them, and they only utilize the law against the citizens. So what this program is, my mother was made a slave. Her grandmother was born a slave. Her mother was free, and now my mother's a slave again because she had a momentary emergency surgery, and I put her into a rehab facility. And one of the moles in the facility, as they usually do, go over and see what your assets are. And 10 days before her Medicare ran out, they filed a petition for conservatorship and stole her entire estate. It was filed July 9th of 2014, and it was granted July 10th. So there was no due process involved. Her whole estate was gone. So I've been drawn into this involuntarily. So let me first say that anybody can become a private attorney general. Okay, this is a position that is recognized by Congress. You don't need a law degree or become, like you said, part of the good old boys club and get a bar card in order to do this. What you
well,
are
can I also
is,
add in here something for a second?
Sure.
There are judges that aren't even attorneys. There's special judges in Oklahoma, anyways, that they're not even lawyers. They're not even lawyers.
Well, necessarily have to be a lawyer to be a judge, but what I'm saying
right,
is,
so that proves the point.
Well, this is a position that's available to anyone. So I assumed this position because my mother has been kidnapped and made a slave and been made to contract with a conservator against her will. So that is involuntary servitude all day. So what I've done in the last half a decade, I've been fighting this. I'm a database programmer, and I do legal research. I don't practice law, so private attorney generals cannot establish an attorney-client privilege with someone, or nor can they represent them in court. However, anybody that you give a power of attorney can represent you wherever you want. So what I do is simply provide a database system which has laws that I've researched in it, which is my legal research. Okay. The next thing it does is store the information related to your particular case in which your rights were violated. And the third thing, most primarily, is what it does is allows you to initiate criminal indictments of those who have violated their oath of office and the public trust. So that is what my system does. It's not a simple case management system that you can get online for free for a law firm. This allows the citizen to hold those government officials accountable who violate their oath of office and violate your rights. And so that is your right to do. And if in majority of situations, the attorney general of your state may or may not and probably won't bring these judges to the table and prosecute them for their violation of their oath of office, like the Congress is doing to the president of the United States since he violated his oath of office, if he can be brought to the table, so can these judges. And this is the tool to use to do it.
Harold, let me ask you a question. Speaking of all these judges, One of the things that has really got under my skin the last couple of years is these judges and prosecutors and police all giving themselves qualified immunity. In your opinion, do you think that is an actual workable, do we have to abide by it? I don't see it myself. Because it says, again, the law will be applied equally. It doesn't say if you've got on a black robe, you're exempt from everything. You can be as criminal as you want to. It doesn't say that. And this immunity thing just absolutely drives me berserk. I personally think we should organize as citizens and declare ourselves immune from the state and federal governments because they're corrupt. So their laws have no meaning. That's just my thinking. But what do you think about that?
Okay, well, first of all, when people are on here, I quote a law, you should look it up. Look up United States Code, USC, United States Code 42, Section 1983. That is the federal
right.
law that gives you the right to have recourse if someone violates your rights. It goes in there to talk about judges or immune and blah, 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 but what it says in there is if they're acting in their official capacity. And if someone, a judge,
yeah.
is not acting in their official capacity, since they swore an oath of office to protect
Bingo.
Their state laws, their state constitution, and the United States Constitution, they are not acting
right.
in their capacity as a judge. They're acting in the capacity of a criminal, and you should be
I just,
to
oh, my God, I just had those exact words in a conversation today, Harold, exactly,
oh, yeah.
this immunity thing. Exactly. It doesn't matter if they are a judge. If they are acting outside of that, then they are acting in – exactly. So then they're – so they cannot hide behind that shield.
No, and because they're operating – outside of their capacity, and I have gone and done Freedom of Information Act requests to the related authority who holds the oath of office of these judges, and I have it. So I'm going to use a specific process called the Notarial Certificate of Default process and ask these judges and the Attorney General of the state, okay, well, now, if this person swore an oath under penalty of perjury to abide by the laws, okay, then how is it that they're breaking the laws and you, as the chief law enforcement officer of the state, are not going to prosecute them for doing so? And something else, too. Let's talk about contracts. Everything in life is based upon a contract, okay? I can become
yes.
a citizen of Florida, New Hampshire, wherever else. When I sign a driver's license contract or a state ID contract, okay, I am trusting you to abide by and enforce the laws of this state that I am choosing to be a citizen of. And if you don't do it, it means that the contract that I sign with you is null and void because it involves elements of fraud. And it also involves lack of full disclosure because it's the same thing as having me sign an 8-page contract by only putting 7 pages of the contract on the table when I sign it. So there's something missing. And the missing part is the element of the fact that you have no intention whatsoever of enforcing the laws evenly to everybody in the state, including the judges and the conservators and the guardians and the rest of these criminal element, the probate mafia. So my contract with you and the taxes that I paid you are invalid because you defrauded me and you took my money for a product or a service or a membership that was never given to me. So now what I have done, I have renounced my state of Michigan citizenship back in 2010. My mother renounced hers back in 2016, luckily before they sold her house out from under her, and made a court order that I can't speak to my own mother. You can't make, you know, there are successive laws in nature, okay? You
so
got
sorry.
Federal law, state law, whatever. The law that trumps everything is the law of nature. No man can make laws that are above and beyond the laws of nature. You can't say, I'm going to make a resolution that it won't snow tomorrow or that the sun won't come up on Thursday. So I don't know how you're going to tell any animal on the planet, whether it's a worm, a frog, a snake, that it can't commune with its own mother that gave birth to it. So I've never regarded that law or never regarded that foolish, order that I have to ask some court to speak to my own mother because I haven't done it in the last 58 years and I'm not going to do it now. So what I did is renounce my state of Michigan citizenship. And because I did that, those who are in power understand the significance of that action. because I can tell you now, I have literally been stopped by a police officer. And I was driving my mother's car, and I had power of attorney to handle her estate. She was still in rehabilitation therapy, so she hadn't gotten her plates renewed. So the cop asked me the same rundown, you know, driver's license, proof of insurance, yada, 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 yada. I said, I ain't got none of that. And the plates are expired, okay, for 2 months ago, okay? And then I also told that officer, number one, I canceled my driver's license contract with your state. And he said, wait, let me clarify this. You said you canceled your driver's license? I said, yes, I did, okay? And I also told him at the time, I wasn't sure, and I'm not sure now, I said, and the Supreme Court has ruled, and this may or may not be so, so don't get it wrong, okay, that you don't need a driver's license unless you are driving commercially. But I do know one thing.
Right.
I know the federal government doesn't issue you a driver's license, the DOT number, unless you are driving commercially in a cab, in a FedEx truck, in a Greyhound bus, or some kind of a cross-country trucker. Okay, you don't have a DOT number on your car to go to the supermarket. So I am not driving commercially. And the cop, and let me just be totally frank with you, I'm an African-American, and I know a lot of African-Americans don't live through traffic stops nowadays, okay? But this cop was a white guy, and he was very, very, very polite to me. And he said to me, the only thing he said to me as he put his ticket book back in his belt, he said, yeah, interstate commerce. So he knows that that is a contract and that I have canceled my contract. And if he were to write me a ticket and try to take me into court, because these traffic fines are nonsense unless you run over somebody or kill them with your car, they're not crimes. They are breaches of contract. You cannot have a picnic without a food. You cannot have a pool party without a pool. And you cannot have a crime without a victim who has been injured or damaged. So he knows that. And once he knew that, I
have a question about that. Are you able to have insurance with that without a driver's license? Sure, right?
I've been driving for years without a driver's license, and I just have full liability, but I don't hit anybody, so I don't worry about it, you know. But the fact is, let me just finish this one little thing. Not only did the cop not give me a ticket, okay, but there was a warrant for me from 10 years ago for driving while license suspended, so he couldn't undo that, so he had to take me to jail. But he didn't write me any new tickets at all when I had four offenses that could have got him a promotion. So when I got out of jail, I took my document in that the notary had sent my driver's license back into the state and canceled it. And the prosecutor who prosecutes people every day as a profession and gives them $500, $600, $800 fines, fees, penalties, and court costs, I showed her that document, and I was out of her office in less than 4 minutes because the prosecutor herself knew that she would be committing a fraud upon the court if she took me into court for a breach of contract when there was no contract anymore. So she let me go, even though the judge needed a diaper when she heard about it, and called the prosecutor in, call the prosecutor in right now. And the prosecutor and the judge said to the prosecutor, well, are you telling me that the city of Southfield, the people, are not prepared or willing to prosecute this case? And the attorney covered her behind and said, yes, that is correct, Your Honor, because she didn't want to be have me hit her for fraud on the court by filing a breach of contract, which what a traffic violation is, unless there's a damaged party, and be in fraud of the court. She's not going to risk her career over one ticket. So it's amazing what they do and how they change their course of action once they know you understand the law.
Okay, let me interject this on this. Let me say something. This is all changing. And this new government-issued driver's license that you must have now in order to, well, as of October of 2020, it isn't your state-issued driver's license. It is a government-issued ID that will be used as a driver's license, and you must have it to board a plane or enter a federal building. The alternative to that is possibly getting a passport to travel in your own country. Figure that one out. But what this requires is you going in and giving I'm going through this right now, a massive amount of historical information about yourself. Every marriage, divorce paper, your Social Security, income taxes, your Social Security card, your birth certificate, it's never ending. The documents they want. This changes it.
Even
from
in 2020,
that state
Marty,
issue.
They won't accept the passport. It has you have to
right.
have that card, I think. Right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah,
so, so your
there's
right to travel freely. And even though you are not in commerce, this is how they're going to get around it, is this government-issued ID that doubles as a driver's license. I don't know how to avoid this. I truly don't.
Well, let me tell you something. First of all, okay, anything that is not born of a woman, doesn't have a navel, doesn't breathe, you know, doesn't drink and eat,
mm-hmm.
among other bodily functions, okay? These things are artificial legal creations, okay? Now,
yes.
you have to have an interaction with them via contract, okay? Now, on the federal level, okay, the United States ceased to exist 100 years before I was born, okay? It is a corporation.
Mm-hmm.
And I got my passport at the desk up there when I went in and applied for my passport. There's three pages of information they wanted, and none of them included this question, so I figured every question they had for me to ask or ask me was on this form. But they didn't put the question on the form. When I went in there the next 2 days to get my passport, okay, the thing said, the guy at the window said, okay, so I just one last question for you, sir. I just want you to realize that we are doing business. And I got to thinking about we're doing business. What the heck does that mean? Okay, so I wanted the passport, so I wasn't going to fuss with it, right? But what it meant is
mm-hmm.
that the United States is a corporation, okay? It is a corporation
right.
that provides the services of a republic. It is not a republic. It is a corporation that is doing business
right.
the same way a private trash collection company is not the Department of Department of Garbage
Sanitation.
Or whatever you call it.
Yeah.
Right, okay? And a private security guard is not an official cop, okay? So what he was telling me, the people had told me for years, and it blew my mind when he actually said that to me, to my face, that we're doing business. Okay, so basically, I am enlisting or soliciting the services of a corporation, okay? So now, if you're a corporation, then this is nothing more than a contractual situation. I am not a citizen, because a citizen is a citizen of a republic, a real country. Like FedEx, McDonald's, whoever else, I can't be a citizen of FedEx, I can't be a citizen of McDonald's, and I can't be a citizen of any other corporation, okay? So I am officially a United States national. It means I was just born
right.
into this mess, okay? Because there are
right.
500, more than 500 nations within the borders of what you call the United States. There's the Navajo Nation. There's the Cherokee Nation. There's the Mohawk Nation, okay? You're part of the nation that you sign up with by contractual agreement, okay? The Mohawk Nation has no more authority over me than the Republic of France, because I haven't signed any contractual agreement with them. So if I don't sign a contractual agreement with you, I'm not responsible for any obligations that you may place upon me by being a member, no more than I'm responsible for being a member of AAA, which I'm not. So if I declare with documentation that I am a U.S. national, okay, I intend to send that to the State Department, and then they will issue me a passport that says I'm a U.S. national, because they have them, okay? Some people that are born, like, in, you know, outer, whatever they call them, outer islands or whatever, who are U.S. nationals but not U.S. citizens. So what you're a part of and what you sign up, and you must make it more than perfectly clear what your status is, because by international human rights law, you have the right to declare what your status is and not have any status placed upon you without your implicit and explicit consent. So once you let them know, I am not one of your citizens, I am a national. So I want a passport that reflects that, and I am not obligated to any of the rest of this nonsense because I am not a consenting participant in your society or your culture or your you know, barbaric entity. So, you know, that's what it's all about. So you have to declare who you are and make it more than perfectly clear. So I have a U.S. passport now, and it expires next
okay.
year, and I'm going to request that it be replaced with a passport that says I'm a U.S. national and not a U.S. citizen.
Okay, the one thing I do know about that U.S. citizen thing, this comes from the Trading with the Enemies Act. Roosevelt signed this, and what he said with that act was that the only U.S. citizens are those people residing in the District of Columbia. and that the rest of us are foreign to the federal corporation. And we are not U.S. citizens. And by defining yourself as one, you're absolutely right. You have contracted, you have put yourself in the business of contracting with them to remain where you are. And I've schooled my grandchildren on this also. People ask you, are you a U.S. citizen? Your answer is no, I'm an American national. And
exactly, because
You define yourself.
The U.S. is defined as a corporation on its own documentation. If you go to my website, Harold Jackson PAG, which stands for Private Attorney General, Harold Jackson PAG .com. Okay, then I have all that information on there. The fact that these entities are corporate bodies, and you are not engaged in any corporate body unless you sign on to it knowingly, or you get suckered into it by using a postal zip code, because if you use zip codes on your mail, then you were opting into their jurisdiction. Or if you get a passport that says you're a citizen, you are as well. So there's different ways to snag you up in it. But once you tell them, I do not consent to this, and that I was not given full disclosure that doing this meant that. So I am defining what my status is, and I expect you to abide by it. So you must make a, you know, declaration documents to let them know who you are and what you are. And not only
that, would also include, like, when you go to court, you know, you're asked to stand up for the judge. You're asked and you know, take your hat off, stand up for the judge. By that, you're submitting yourself as well, but unknowingly.
I'm not aware of any law that says that this is a monarchy where you must bow down to your employees. These people are public employees. I don't bow down and get on my knees when the trash man comes. I don't bow down and get on my knees when the fire department comes. I might run out of my house if my house is on fire. But, you know, I mean, I don't pay homage to my employees. Since when does any employer pay homage to his employees? I'm not aware of any law that says that you have to stand up when one of these people, your public servants, enter the room, okay? So when you show me that law, then I'll stand up. And then again, I might not. So something else as well, okay? Your status is very important. You have to understand what your status is. First of all, the United States government is bankrupt, okay? It's like $20 trillion in debt. I said this last time. You know, the bum on the street that has one penny in his pocket is worth more than the U.S. government, because his value, net worth, is not 10 miles below the floor, okay? So now, when they're buying these guns and bombs and stuff like this and all the rest of this, they don't have any credit. They don't have any assets. The U.S. government owns, you know, some warships, some public parks, the White House, the Congress building, whatever. Okay, everything else is owned by the public. Okay, what they're pledging to the Federal Reserve Bank, which is a private corporation, is your labor and your future taxes. Okay?
And so your land.
They want you to pay, of course, everything you own and you. So, you are being made the surety for their loans, okay? While at the same time, if you declare yourself as a taxpayer, then you are helping to pay down the national debt. But the national debt is to you, because it is your credit that they are using. Every time, if you come to my house and knock on my door and ask me for my credit card or my cash, okay, and you go to the mall and have a spending spree, everything that you buy in that mall belongs to me. Because you use my money to buy it or my credit to buy it until you pay me back for it. So now that means that my relationship to you is the creditor, not a debtor. So now if you go there and use my money or my credit card and go to the bank or might go to the mall and buy yourself a Ferrari, okay, then you owe me for the payments on that Ferrari. I don't owe you because you use my credit. And then you're double-dipping me if you have them send me the bill on my credit card after you got the benefit of my credit. The debt is on my credit card, and you send me the bill to pay it off. So now either I'm a creditor or I'm a debtor. And unless you are delusional, you need to understand who you are and decide who you are and declare yourself as such. Because if you're in a skyscraper hotel and you are the owner and you're in the penthouse, any money that comes in the door, in the restaurant, in the bar, at the front desk, for rooms being purchased, okay, that money funnels its way up to you. Now, if you get drunk or you get delusional and you go downstairs and you rent a room in your own hotel as a customer, and then you get to make a lot of noise in that room, a manager can come out and cancel your contract and tell you get out the building, okay? But if you understand who you are and you are the owner and the creditor of the entire operation, then you can tell him, okay, well, now, next time you knock on my door, I'm going to fire you and put you out of my building, okay? So now, mm-hmm. if you don't know who you are and you say, well, I'm just a room renter because you got amnesia and don't know that the whole hotel belongs to you and it was all built on your credit and using your backing, then you're going to keep on paying in a circle to yourself. You can pay the taxes to pay off the U.S. national debt, but you ain't getting paid off because it's your credit that was used, because they don't have any credit and they use your credit to buy everything. So if you don't know who you are and don't declare who you are, then they'll use your credit to buy the bullets and the bombs and the stealth fighters and then tell you you got to pay them taxes in order to pay off the national debt, which is owed to you. So, you know, it all has to do with what level of amnesia you are suffering from. But if you understand who you are, you will let them know, okay, now, my relationship to you is as a creditor, okay, because you're using my credit to buy what it is that you want, okay? So you will not be asking me to pay you to pay down the national debt, because I'm not a citizen. Citizens are bound to that. I'm a national, and I'm not. But you use my credit to buy what you want, so my relationship to you is as a creditor. So if you assess me with any taxes or fees, you can take it out of what you owe me.
Well, that's it. Like when the president stands up and says things like, you know, and it's backed up by the full faith and credit of the United States, he's talking about the people's assets, because the government basically has nothing other than what they take from us. And
and the IMF World Bank assets and minus the ETS too. You know.
Okay.
Because that's on the block as well. Harold, because China forecloses, they take everything, including your labor, which means you. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. So, okay, Harold, with your mother, when she renounced her U.S. citizenship and became an American national, how did this affect her?
Well, now, what she did not renounce her U.S. citizenship. She renounced her state citizenship. She's still currently a U.S. citizen. She simply renounced her state citizenship by virtue of fraud and the fact that, you know, her entire estate was stolen, which is absolutely against every imaginable law, human rights law, down to the federal constitution law and down to the, you know, 13th Amendment, which says that slavery shall be abolished and all the rest of that. And she finds herself a slave. And no one in the state, any one of the divisions of government, has stepped up to the plate to stop it, okay? So that means that everything that she's done, all the taxes she's paid, all the votes that she's made, have been made absolutely null and void and irrelevant because no one's protecting her rights, because everything that they're doing is totally violating her rights. So all the taxes she's paid should be paid back to her, because no one from the general down has stepped in to enforce the laws. So it was a fraudulent contract. It's when she signed in the voters registration, that's something you got to get rid of too. Because that means that you are willing to have someone else represent you. No, sorry, only I represent me. So that if they make these laws and they represent you, then you're agreeing to abide by all this nonsense and give these judges judicial immunity. I'm not agreeing to any of that foolishness, because if I have full liability, I'm not letting you get away with anything either. So,
but how do you so there are pros and cons to that. So how do you look at that as the other end of the spectrum? If you don't have to have voter ID, then how do you you know what I mean? I definitely see the pros of, you know, the whole straw man thing by all means. And I think that's what you're referring to pretty much in doing this, denouncing your state citizenship and whatnot, as far as the right to drive goes. But how do you protect against voter fraud? You know, because you're not allowed, and I'm not being confrontational. I'm just asking.
I don't vote anymore because I don't want anything part of the system. I want nothing to do with it because it's a fraudulent system and they don't protect you like they're supposed to. The laws on the books are absolutely meaningless. So I believe in contracting with integrity, okay? If you're going to hold up your end of the bargain, I'll contract with you yesterday, okay? But if you're not going to hold up your bargain and you're going to give the judges a pass to just rob my mother's entire estate and have no one anywhere held accountable, then everything I believed that and trusted in you is absolutely fraudulent. So I don't care about your system. I don't care about voting who's on the tribal council of the Mohawk Nation, you know, because I'm not associated with them anymore. So whatever you do, good luck. But don't include me in it, because I do not contract with those who are not reliable or honest in their dealings. So everything that I've come to believe about the government is just absolutely shameful to me, because I trusted in these people and I voted for years. I voted for Obama in the first time he went, and I didn't vote for the second time because I renounced my voting registration then, because I see it's worthless. And my mother, the petition in her case was filed. She was a resident of Wayne County. They filed a petition that says she was a resident of Oakland County, which is a nearby county. Okay, very racist, very Republican, whatever. I'm not getting political here. But what I'm saying is the fact that...
No?
You know, she voted. No, I did not even say that. I didn't say that.
Okay.
Anyway, look. So what happened is they said that she lived in another county, which she did not. Okay? So that means that all the judges that she voted for in Wayne County, what was the purpose of that? If some judge in some other county is going to hear the case and rob her of her estate, what was the purpose of voting? I mean, she was totally disenfranchised. So the whole system is run amok, because even her voting and her taxation and paying taxes and supporting Wayne County and property taxes in Wayne County, and the register of deeds went and allowed the house to be put in somebody else's name. So what is the purpose? What was the purpose of voting, paying taxes, believing in the government, and all this nonsense? If nobody abides by the laws, what is the purpose? Why should I associate myself contractually with any entity that is so entirely disreputable?
Wow.
Well, it's
that,
a big decision.
Yes. Yes. You know, one of the things that has bothered you talked about, you know, not bowing down to public servants. A couple of years ago out there in D.C., I had a senator approach me in the hallway at the Hart Building, and we had a very kind of heated conversation. And at one point he said, "You will refer to me as senator." I said, "Well, okay, if we're going to use phony titles," I said, "you can refer to me as your majesty." And
that's
he
right.
looked at me and I said, and let me explain something to you. I don't work for you as a constituent or a voter. You work for me as a public servant. And as long as I'm your employer, I'll thank you to take a little more subordinate attitude when you speak to me. And I
got that right.
That man was going to hit me in the head. His face turned purple, and he looked at me, and he said, "What did you say?" I said, "You are my employee. Have some respect."
Got that right. We should all do the exact same thing.
Yes.
And
with all due respect, I do believe in respecting, you know, each other. And I'm okay with calling somebody mayor or senator if they're doing their job. I'm okay with it. But I want to be treated with that equal respect.
Exactly. Yes. If they're doing their job, fine. I'm not going to call somebody your honor if you're totally dishonorable. Why would I? I'm not an idiot.
Exactly. Okay, so Harold, your program that you've set up, kind of walk us through this. I know it's a little bit on the complicated side, and by the way, I've got people asking, yes, you do provide consultation with this if they purchase this program. And again, I'm going to say this again, I said it at the beginning of the show, there are many of you who are screaming, he should give it to us for free if he really wants to help people. Well, he spent 5 years doing this. And when you put 5 years hard work into something, let me ask you, are you going to give it away for free? This is actually a real possibility and has real potential for turning this system around and avoiding all of these people that are going to screw you over. So have a little respect here. Nobody said it's not like you're going to get a bill in the mail. But respect what this
Marty,
man
has this
done.
Is the first person you've ever brought on the show that I'm aware of that you're endorsing like a product that is actually sold or service is actually sold. So this is not commonplace whatsoever, but it's the extraordinary design, Harold, that you've come up with. that's really the endorsement for this. And, you know, and most people also who have been corrupted by the system are left with next to nothing after that's happened. And so, you know, are you going to fault somebody for trying to recover money or for being, you know, or, you know, or believing in, you know, capitalism, you know,
right.
You know, so.
Well, yes, yes. As somebody else said, you know, again at the beginning of the show, this is information that is freely available. Anybody could look it up. Well, none of you did. None of you did. And this man did. He put it all together in a usable format with templates that you can use. He'll walk you through it. He'll help you through it. For God's sake, when does
you don't
I want
have
it
to
for
reinvent
free?
The wheel. It's already there. Yeah.
There you go. There you go. So go ahead, Harold.
Okay, well, basically, you know, because my mother's entire estate was robbed and my innocence was robbed of me, too, believing in the government and the integrity of these people, I have gone into this full time now, okay? I'm a multimedia specialist. I travel around the country. People pay me to go to places like London and other places and big concerts where I spend 3 or 4 days videotaping corporate conventions and making decent money at that. But I've turned my attention to this because I'm really seriously wanting to see people get free from this nonsense because I don't want to see my mother be a slave or anybody else. So I'm doing this full time now, and I've put 5 years into the research of these laws, 8 different bodies of law. Okay, I seem like I've gone to law school. Okay, it's like, you know, international human rights law, federal law, constitutional law, state constitutional law, rules of evidence, all kind of other stuff, federal rules of criminal procedure, uniform commercial code, codes of judicial conduct for judges. Okay, my database contains what is for Michigan. So anybody that gets this can replace those laws with the like laws of their state and use mine as an example. Okay, so this is a comprehensive program that allows you to do a wide variety of things. Okay. It allows you, let me pull this up on my screen so I can see it and tell you about it. This is a program that does 3 things. It is a database of laws representing the culmination of my legal research. It is also a document preparation program where it has simple drop-down menus that allow you to go through and enter information once, and then it will automatically populate it in the other areas and reports and criminal indictments that you can create with this. It is not in any way, shape, or form one of these little simple free programs you can get off the internet to do case management for a law firm. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with you putting in the cases that you have had your rights violated in and making a very, very distinctive timeline of actually what happened, and also with numerous checkboxes on it so that you can go through and associate any event on the timeline or any case exhibit with any of 15 different people so that you can print out a separate timeline for that person or a completely separate list of exhibits for that person in preparation for making a criminal indictment against them. And the reason why this is because most people do not understand this. It is a law, Federal Rules of Criminal Procedure, which allows a person to file a criminal complaint with a judge or a magistrate. I'm only going at it from the federal judge perspective. And Rule 4 says that if it seems as if the person that you have accused of doing what you've accused them of doing has done it, then the judge not may, not might, but must issue an arrest warrant for them. So that is what I'm basing this entire system on. And in addition to, because the attorney generals, even one of our states, says that what you need to do if you have a problem with a judge is go to the Judicial Tenure Commission, and if you have a problem with an attorney, you go to the attorney.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, go to the foster guardian in the hen house.
But what I'm going to do is file that, because I already did it once, and they laughed it off in both of those situations. I've been there, done that, got the stinking T-shirt. Now, what I'm going to do is do it again. This time, when I file a complaint with the Judicial Tenure Commission or the Attorney Grievance Commission, okay, what I'm doing is accompanying that with a notarized criminal complaint that has already been submitted to a federal judge. Okay? So now
that has already been submitted.
Right. So now that means I want you to take me very seriously, because I'm not just making a generalized whining to you about what the judge does. I want you to know I know what the law is, and I know what specific laws that the judge has violated, and I've sent a criminal complaint in related to that conduct and those laws. That is what this tool allows you to do. It allows you to go after these people, because if the attorney general in your state will not hold them accountable with their exclusive mm-hmm. power, like our attorney general in our state, you know, has these roving tours, and she talks about the proposed new legislation, which relates to directing your attention over to the legislative branch, and then talking about the Judicial Tenure Commission, which is the judicial branch, okay, when she has the power to bring charges against anybody who violates their oath of office exclusively from her office alone, which is in the executive branch, okay? So now mm-hmm. if you don't do your job, we will help you do your job. And so if there's an army of private attorney generals out there who will enforce the laws and make sure that these people who are taking your money as their salary from your taxes, okay, and not doing their job and disregarding every imaginable law, then somebody needs to bring charges against them. And if the attorney general won't do it, we should. So that is exclusively Absolutely. What this tool is designed to do. It is not a case management system. It is a system to produce criminal indictments. So let me tell you the different areas of this system. Number one.
So this is as opposed to going to the representatives that are supposed to oversee the attorney general, the Senate, and vote them out through the evidence.
The separation of powers doctrine on the state levels and the federal level, okay? You have the judicial, you have the executive, and you have the legislative. And each one of these will tell you that they cannot reach into the boundaries of the other co-equal branch of government and interfere with anything, okay? But the attorney general does have the power to intervene in a case in a court. They do have that power. And this one in our state says that she did have the power to do so. But I have gone to my mother's, legislative representative, and they gave me the same excuse. Well, sorry you're having a bad day, but there's nothing I can do to intervene in the co-equal branch of government, which is the judicial branch. Okay, fine. Well, that works both ways. So if I make a complaint over here and get a notarial certificate of default ruling from a notary public, which is under the Secretary of State, that means a judge can't reach over and interfere with that. So we can play this both ways. I just turn the table on. So mm-hmm. this system has numerous areas which allow you to do this very, very efficiently, okay? The first thing is contact management. It has an area for contact management, and you can go through and add numerous types of contacts. You can add media contacts with a checkbox that says they're media. You can have a checkbox for somebody who is a government member. You can have a checkbox for somebody who is a violator. And once you check them off as a violator, then that means that their name will pull up in drop boxes elsewhere in the system for somebody that you
may want
to.
It's a tracking system.
Right, it's a very
accurate tracking
system.
How many I love it. I love it.
Well, yeah, and then it has other areas for law library management, where you can get the entire essence of my legal research at your fingertips in one report you can print out. I have the laws, 300 and something laws that I have researched, and it has two different significant reports. One of them is law by law level, which means international human rights law, federal U.S. Constitution, federal laws, state laws, down, down, down. Okay. The other one is called the laws by category report, which represents the laws put into categories as to what significance they have and what you would use it for, practicality. Okay. And then that is that element of it. Then you have a complete communications management system where you can keep track of ingoing and outgoing communications, and allows you to designate a communication as a Freedom of Information Act request or a cease and desist letter or a variety of other types of ingoing, outgoing communications. And it also has an area where you can become a citizen's advocate, okay? The citizen's advocate is a position that you can have. It's like a consumer advocate, but only it has to do with keeping government officials on track. So you would contract.
It's the omnibudsman of the government.
Right,
in
right.
essence.
Right. So you cannot contract with someone with an attorney-client relationship or represent them in court as a private attorney general. Let me make that more than perfectly clear. Now, you can contract with them as a citizen's advocate, and just like in Green Acres, you know, you got Mr. Drucker in his store. People ain't old enough to understand that. But you change hats, okay? So you deal with the public as a citizen's advocate, and they can pay you $10, $20 to write a letter to one of these representatives, and the letterhead is going to be signed by the citizen, and it invokes certain very, very powerful laws. On the letterhead, it's on there. So you get their attention immediately, okay? And the number one, it says, I accept your oath of office as a contract personally between you and I under penalty of perjury. That will get their attention immediately, okay? Number two, you invoke, and look this up on the internet, the Title 42, Section 1986, U.S. Code, mm-hmm. U.S.C. 42, Section 1986. That law is action for neglect to prevent. When you officially invoke that law, it's a federal law that applies everywhere. It lets these people know that if I tell you and you're in a position of power to stop it, that something unlawful is about to happen to me, you are personally financially liable to me. Okay? The other law that stationary invokes is Title 18, Section 4, which is misprision of felony. Title 18, Section 4, U.S. Code, Title 18, Section 4, misprision of felony, which means that if someone is committing a felony and you're in a position to stop it, you are a co-conspirator if you don't. So those mm-hmm. three laws will definitely get their attention immediately. And this system allows you to not only send these letters out on behalf of a person, you interact with the citizen as a citizen's advocate, then you change hats and you use your power of attorney general and you send them this letter and let them know that if they don't take care of this person, you have the power to initiate a criminal indictment against them for violation of their oath of office, number one, as the salad in the mm-hmm. meal. And the main course is whatever other laws they broke. So that allows you. And additionally, we have another website where these citizens advocates are able to post this information on a globally available internet website to show the communication that was sent to this public official and the response they made if they choose to make one. So not only are we letting you know you have legal and financial liability, but we're also putting you on the spot. And by being an intermediary in that situation, typically a person may send a complaint to one of these government officials and then it gets thrown in the trash and they'll never get a response, okay? This way, I'm letting you know that this letter is going on a public website, okay? So that everybody knows that this letter's been sent to you. We're going to send it by certified mail so they know you got it, okay? And we want a response from you to see and show that you're doing a good job. So you can either make yourself look good or make yourself look real bad. But the value of this is by posting this on a public website, we can tally how many people have complained about a given thing, like the water in Flint, Michigan, okay? Toxic, deadly water, okay? So nobody knows how many complaints have been sent in to them, okay? But this way we can tally it and show the public, well, 18 people have complained about this, and he hasn't done anything about it at all. So now that gives you every inspiration to initiate a criminal charge against them. When you sue somebody, because you can sue them as a private attorney general, for their salary back, okay? And there's a law that says you can keep a third of it and put two-thirds back into the public coffer, okay? So that allows you to get them and take their salary back if they're not doing their job and also file criminal charges against them and put this information from these letters you sent to them on a public site so that people can make a tally and have a public recognition of what they're doing. So that's another element of this entire system, okay? So let me tell you what else this thing does. It allows you, like I said.
How does it censor that for false information, Harold? You know, I look, how does that censor that for false information?
Oh, because they have to.
Because they've got to back it up.
Well, no, they're going to get, they have to, on our site, we're only accepting sworn affidavits. So if they send in an affidavit to us, we're not just letting somebody slam somebody. It's not like a site where you can just make comments about somebody.
Asking you questions about that I think the listeners might be thinking of. So that's why I'm asking.
Ask away.
Yeah. Okay. So that makes sense. That makes sense.
So there's also a task management area. There's an extensive usage guide on the site. There's a button that says initiate a criminal indictment. So you have the capacity to store all kinds of people in your people list, and they can be, like I said, government officials, media personalities, international activist organizations, and your allies group. Your allies checkbox means that this is a person who suffered the same thing that I've suffered. So these are the people that I'm going to call up when it's time to picket or protest, you know. So you can organize your people and your case information and your timeline, and it allows you to put in multiple cases, multiple timelines. You have one timeline for a given case, but it allows you with easy drop-down boxes to separate that timeline into 15 different sub-element timelines that relate to the activity of any one person, so that you can go through and realize every single thing that they did that was wrong against the law. So you have on the left hand a timeline of their violations, and on the right hand you start making criminal indictment counts for every one of those violations. So it's an extremely organized system that allows you to keep every last aspect of this in perfect order for the ultimate and exclusive goal of being able to get criminal indictments against these people so that we can enforce the law if the attorney generals and the other law enforcement entities in the state refuse and give these bar members, the judges and the attorneys and the conservators and the guardians, a free ride. So since nobody's enforcing the law, it's up to you to enforce the law and make those who you paid their salary with your taxes abide by their oath of office. That's what it does.
Okay, Harold, I have several emails here from people asking questions. And the number one question is, if you fill out this initial form, this letter you speak of, and you have it delivered by notary, as you're talking about, what if they simply disregard it? Can they disregard it, Harold?
Of course they can disregard it. And then you can bring another criminal charge against them for not doing their job and disregarding communications from the public. And that means that if you get it back in the mail, the post office, and they say, well, you know, they didn't receive the mail, then you can try to send it to them again, or you can also, of course, have it served upon them, because there is a general maxim in law, notice to agent is notice to principal, and notice to principal is notice to agent. So if you go in there and have the secretary who works underneath them and hand it to them and have somebody literally serve it upon them, then you have service of the document upon them. So they got it.
Right. This is specific to public corruption, right? We want to make that clear. This isn't to serve something upon your neighbor.
No, this is for those who have gotten an oath of office.
Violated their oaths of office. Yeah, okay.
Right, but you can just as easily send this type of documentation to a corporation, because a private attorney general can bring charge, or a citizen. You don't have to be a private attorney general to do this. You can make a criminal indictment of anybody who you have personal experience that you know that they did something wrong, okay? But a private attorney general operates in the same arena as a public attorney general. You aren't representing a single citizen, even though a single citizen may have brought a complaint to you. If you sue them, you are doing it on behalf of the public as a whole, not an individual that you are representing with an attorney-client relationship established with
them. Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. And then I have another question here from Lydia. She's in Utah. And Lydia says, if going through all of this, will it relieve these illegal, I'm having a hard time reading this, illegal guardianships? And can you seek restitution using this method? I ask only because they took my mother's entire estate, sold her home, her car, took all of her valuable possessions, and then trashed everything else, which is a story we hear continually. And is it possible to gain restitution by using this process?
Well, see, what I'm doing in my mother's instance, since I renounced my state of Michigan citizenship, okay, I am not under any obligation to have any arrangement with these people in what they call an unconscionable contract, which says they have limited and no liability when I have full liability if I steal somebody's hubcap in the mall, okay? So I'm not initiating a case against them and going through their corrupt courts.
Right.
I am issued that claim. The same way some road crew that may charge the state $10 million, for their road services. They don't have to go to court to get that. They just simply send you a bill, okay, because you took this from me. And then with the notarial certificate of default process, which the people should understand what that is, okay, you can go to my website and haroldjackson-page.com/NCD, notarial certificate default, ncd.htm, okay? Just go to my site and you can find, you navigate your way in that anyway. But what it is if you are under contract with somebody, you have the right to establish a contract with them, okay? Like a free agent in a professional sport, okay? If I'm not under a binding contract with you and I cancel my state citizenship, then I have a right to offer a contract with you. So I put a contract to my mother's door and said, you know, if you come in here and destroy the evidence of the destruction, the conservator didn't pay the heat bill and destroyed half the house when the pipes burst, okay, then you owe me $10 million. And I'm going to enforce that contract because I'm not under an agreement with the state that says that I grant anybody limited liability, okay? You all have liability as far as I'm concerned. So I'm going to enforce that contract, and your behavior represents your implicit consent to my contract. So I'm not going to go into these corrupt courts and expect that they're going to give me anything because there's more bar members that are in there, and any court is a conflict of interest because the lawyer and the judge and the opposing lawyer are all members of the Bar Association. So how am I going to get justice? So anyway, back to the specific question, okay? That is how I'm going to get justice of this. And when you file these criminal complaints with these people in combination with the notarial certificate of default process, which basically is a war of affidavits, you send them an affidavit and said, with three elements of it is, this is what you did on this date, this is what the law states, I am not in possession of any evidence, documentation, or testimony that would indicate that your actions are in accordance with the law. They cannot answer those questions, okay? So if you give them multiple opportunities to do this through the process, you got to give them like three opportunities to answer the question. If they don't answer the question, then they're defaulted. The same way a collection company sends you a letter that says, we got this magazine that we know you didn't subscribe to, but we're going to bill you for it anyway. And if you don't answer us in 10 or 14 days that says this is an invalid bill, we're going to put it on your credit rate. Okay? It's the same thing.
I think you're given like three or four different opportunities to not default as I was looking through this.
Exactly.
Right?
You give them ample time. You give them ample
time. So the notice is there.
Right. So you send them with the No Republic, the No Republic mails it to them, they respond to the No Republic, not to you. That way the No Republic documents whether they responded or not, when they responded or not, and then how many points that they answered and didn't answer. As many spitballs as you throw on the wall and they don't pull off, that's what sticks. So,
but does this eliminate the public notice?
Does what now?
You know, like in a local paper where you know that person lives, does this eliminate that process?
Well, when you're sending it directly to them to their last known mailing address, these are people who are already involved in your case. So you know the conservator's address. You know the judge's address. These aren't mysterious people that you have to look up and find out where they are. These violators are in the court on a regular basis, and they're on your legal documents as being given service of every court event. So that's their address. So you send it to them by a notary public, and then the notarial certificate of default process will default these people out. If they cannot prove that they are not in breach of contract, they're not in breach of fiduciary, and they're not in violation of a variety of other laws in your state that relate to fiduciary obligations of a guardian or a conservator or a judge's code of judicial conduct or their sworn oath of office to abide by the U.S. Constitution and the state constitution, they cannot answer those questions. So that's how you default them out. And then when you do that, defaulting them out, like I mentioned earlier, the Federal Rules of Criminal Procedure 3 and 4, number 3, you file a criminal complaint to a judge, and not some local judge in the court you're dealing with, in a federal judge. And then Rule 4 says that if it seems like they did what you said they did, then the judge must issue an arrest warrant, okay? So if you are convicted of a crime, okay, you don't have any defense in a civil suit after that. Okay, your guilt has already been determined in a criminal proceeding. So, in order to get your money back, what I'm going to do is I'm going to say, You violated my rights. You swore an oath of office to protect my rights. You didn't do it. In this court case, you violated every imaginable law. I am not aware that you have judicial immunity if you're acting outside your judicial capacity, okay, to the conservator. I am not aware that you were acting in a lawful capacity if you were acting outside the law. And conservators and guardians don't have any judicial immunity anyway. So you can make an offer to contract with them. If you are not able to prove to me that you did not violate my rights, okay, then I make an offer to contract with you for the price of everything you took from me. Okay, that's an offer to contract, and their behavior represents implicit consent to your contract. And you also obviously have the opportunity to go into a court, if you choose, and sue them for the damages, because like in the state of Michigan, there are conversion laws. Conversion is the unlawful transfer of property to one to another without the consent of the first party. So, you know, when the judge sold your house out from under you, or the conservator sold your house, if you didn't volunteer with that conservator and sign on to a contract with them willingly, number one, it's involuntary servitude against the 13th Amendment, which outlaws slavery. Because if you're being compelled to contract with anybody against your will, it's involuntary servitude and slavery. So now, if I didn't contract with you, okay, then I want you to show me where I have a contract with you with winning signature that I signed under full disclosure. Oh, you can't do it? Okay. Then you're engaged in fraud against me, okay? So if you can't prove that you took my property, then I make an offer to contract with you for whatever amount I choose. It's got to be something reasonable. It can't be a ridiculous amount of money, but whatever I've lost, okay? And you send that in to the with the Federal Rules of Criminal Procedure saying, okay, not only did I file a criminal complaint against this person with exhibits accompanying it, but I also have a material certificate of default that says I gave this person an opportunity to express their innocence in the situation and prove that they didn't break these laws that I said they did, and they couldn't do it. So that's the icing on the cake or the last nail in the coffin for these people, because you are nailing them up to the wall because they cannot prove that they didn't commit these crimes you said that they committed. So you can either take them to court and try to get your money back, you know, and good luck with that, okay? But like I said, in Michigan, you know, in a civil RICO case, you can get three times the value back. In a conversion case in Michigan, you can get three times of what you lost. Okay, so there are opportunities within the law to not only get what you want back, but get three times the value of it, because the properties that they took from you and larceny by conversion, you get three times the value back. That's Michigan law. Now, I don't know what's in all your other individual 49 other states, okay, but I know that's in my state law, and I would assume and hope that they have the same thing in the other states. But, yes, you can sue them back for the damages, particularly if you have a criminal indictment that you prepared with this software program that you file with a federal judge and you send that in with the case information. Because when you're going to the federal judge, you're not starting a case. All you're doing there is making a criminal complaint, the same way you go to the police department and file a police report, okay? So that's not starting a case over there. So
that's what you're saying, is this starts at the federal level.
Well, no, you file that criminal complaint. I'm going to file mine at the federal level, not in these local courts where these same corrupt judges circulate, okay? I'm taking it above their head. But the lady's question, how do you get your money back, okay? What I'm doing, I can't tell you what you would do because I'm not giving you legal advice. I'm not a lawyer. I don't offer legal advice. I can use my First Amendment rights to express myself and tell you what I would do in your situation, and I'm not practicing law by doing that, okay? So, you know, if a bully came up on me and tried to snatch my lunch money, he would understand my baseball bat, okay? So anyway, you know, what I'm saying is you have the opportunity, obviously, to get a lawyer and go to court or not get a lawyer and go to court and represent yourself, because the evidence that you have when you have a criminal indictment against these people, okay, then they take that seriously, because that and accompanying exhibits, and particularly if you use the material certificate of default process to default them out already, give them a chance to admit their innocence or not, and they didn't do it or weren't able to do it, that's another very powerful tool that I would think any reasonable judge would take heed to. And like I said, you can go the court route, or you can go the non-court route and just send them a bill, okay, offer the contract with you. Because I renounce my state citizenship. So I don't have a contract with the state or anybody in it.
So you're now, saying that, is that a protocol? Are you saying that that is a protocol to renounce your state citizenship in order to be a part
that,
of this?
If you do that, no, it isn't necessary because you can go to court and sue them. You can do the notarial certificate of default process and default them out. You can use this program to send a criminal indictment to a federal court on them and still become a citizen. And then take your chances with the court giving you a favorable decision. If you have sufficient enough evidence to make your case, you know, that they really destroyed your estate and disregarded every law that supposedly the conservators and the guardians and the judges are supposed to have taken heed of, then I would think that you would have a positive outcome. I can't tell, you know.
Yeah,
but
you're supposed to. Right? You're supposed to.
Go after them with some teeth and get a criminal indictment on them.
Yeah, I have another email here, and it says, I was told that when I went into one of these courts, that if I demanded the judge's oath of office, that they must produce it. I tried that, and I was threatened with jail. Do you know anything about that at all, Harold?
Yes, of course I do, because I went into the judge's, I went into the judge's the courtroom. And I asked the clerk, I would like to see the judge's oath of office, okay? And he said, well, I think the judge would get angry with that, and I won't tell you what I told him. But anyway, it's as simple as this, okay? In every state, there is a specific protocol. These oaths of office have to be filed in an exacting and specific place. When you file a Freedom of Information Act through the mail, not putting yourself into somebody's courtroom under their, you know, vicious guise, okay, then you get what you want. You file the Freedom of Information Act with the Attorney General, with the Secretary of State to get a state court's, oath of office, or with, it varies by state, but I know in Michigan, I can file the Freedom of Information Act with the county clerk, okay, where a given judge operates, and they're obligated by law to provide you, and that's a federal law, the Freedom of Information Act law, and they got like 5 days to send you that oath, and I've done it. And with the county clerk that didn't, I sent them an email and told them that I will bring a criminal indictment against you if you don't do your job and give me this judge's oath, and I had that thing within hours. They emailed. They didn't waste the time to mail. They emailed it to me quick, okay? So, because I told them I'm a private attorney general, and I will come and get you. So they did it, and that's how you get the judge's oath of office. Don't go into their chambers because generally they may not have a copy of their oath of office in there to give out to you. But you go to the place where it's passed it by law, stored, which would be the county clerk's office. Or depending upon how high level the judge is, you know, with the Secretary of State.
Okay,
but
we got another one that came in. We've got another one that just came in behind this, and it says, I have been told that many judges no longer file an oath of office. Is that true?
I tell you what, in the state of Michigan, if you don't have your oath of office on file, you will be off the bench, okay, because it says you must, in order to begin your duties, you have to have your oath of office on file, okay? So they're not officially in an official capacity in any rulings that they make if they didn't put their oath of office on file, not just took it, but put it on file with the required recording authority, which is usually the county clerk in the county in which they operate, they're hit. Okay, and their rulings, I would assume, could be overturned because they didn't have any official authority because their oath of office is not available for public inspection. So that's a big
And do appointed
number.
Judges have to have this oath of office as well?
Like these little, you know, what you call them, referees and what's the other, magistrates and all these other non-judges. I've done that too, okay, because I got run up against one of these people who just tried to shut me up and run along, and I told him, I'm not under any contract with you. Okay, I don't have any contract with your municipal entity. And he just tried to shut me up and keep it. I said, we're not going to talk about all that. Okay, well, fine, that's all right. I'll file a criminal charge against you later. Don't worry about it. So these people who are not even real judges, okay, will try to railroad you, and I did a Freedom of Information Act request on this person, and somebody from the Elections Commission you know, sent me something back and said, we haven't heard of this person, because he sounded like appointed somebody that wears a suit most of the day as a lawyer, and the moonlights when they put the black robe of death.
Well, in Oklahoma, there are full time. Most of the judges that here in district court are appointed. They are not. It's not the presiding judge. It's a great way that they can induce corruption.
Of course it is, because these people have not taken an oath of office. So I just let them know flat out, you know, have you taken an oath of office? I ask them right there. You know, number one, I do not consent to this proceeding. There's certain things I say to them when I get in there. Number one, I am not a willing participant in this proceeding. I do not consent to contract with you, okay? I do not consent to be a surety for any bonds or anything else that you assign during this case, that you create during this case. And have you sworn an oath of office before I proceed? Okay, to say anything, I'm here under special appearance, which means that special appearance means I am here to test your legal authority over me, because I haven't granted you any in personam jurisdiction over me, because I have no contract with you. So until you're able to put that on the record that you have jurisdiction with me, not just say, well, I have jurisdiction, that'll mean nothing to me, okay? Put it on the court record or shut up. Okay, so if you can't put on the court record that I am one of your citizens, or particularly in a municipal situation, in Michigan, it's in the law. The state has made a law about the Home Rule City Act, which clearly says that all cities are bodies corporate, which means it's a corporation. The counties are bodies corporate. The townships are bodies corporate. So if you're saying
our country is bodies corporate,
of course it is.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is, if I don't have a contract with your corporation, then we have nothing to discuss. So you put the contract that I've signed with wet ink, and with full disclosure, okay, in place, because this is a breach of contract that you're suing me for, because driving without a license is not a crime. Because there's no injured party, okay? When you can put that on the record, then we can talk. Otherwise, I don't consent to this proceeding, okay?
Okay, but if you answer a complaint, then you become a part of a contract.
Well, no, this is what you call, you know, I'm not giving you legal advice, I'm saying what I do, okay? These summonses are invitations, okay? Invitations to contract, if you show up and you're contracting with them, okay? There's what you call a conditional acceptance, okay? A conditional acceptance, which means that you're not in default because you are making a response, okay?
Right.
But you're offering them a counter contract, okay? You are not ignoring them and allowing them to default you out by not making a response at all, because silence is acquiescence. So you must say something.
Okay.
So now what
you
say is...
Thank you for that clarification.
Oh, yeah. So you say that I'm offering you I'm sending in a conditional acceptance to your offer to appear, okay, which means that I would like you to show me where I have engaged in a contract with you, and it's very important, this word, a forum selection clause. Like if I have a contract with a corporation and we have a contract that says, well, if we ever decide we don't love each other and we hate each other, then this is the form that we're going to use. We're going to go to mediation and not to court. Or we're going to go to Judge Judy's court and not to a regular public court. Or we're going to go to, you know, Judge Greg Mathis's court, okay? That is a forum selection clause in a contract, which says where we will appear if we have a dispute. Now, if you're a municipal corporation, and I'm not already a state citizen, which more or less means that I've already granted you jurisdiction to me, okay, then I require you to produce on the court record before I proceed evidence of a contract that I have with your municipal corporation, okay, you black robe demon. So, you know, under the circumstances, if I don't have a contract with you, then you're engaging in fraud upon the court, or just straight-up fraud anyway, okay, and you're trying to compel me against my will to contract with you when I told you I don't choose to do so. And without a contract in place, like a driver's license or a, what do you call it, a state ID card, we don't have a contract. And even if I did have one, then I can renounce that immediately because it was a fraud, because I expected the laws to be dealt with evenly, and I expected that people would enforce in the attorney general's office these judges who are not abiding by the law, and you're not doing that. So it was a fraudulent contract to begin with, and any fraudulent contract that engaged any contract that it contains any element of fraud is what they call void ab initio, A-B-I-N-I-T-I-O, ab initio, which means it was fraudulent from before it began. It's meaningless. It's meaningless paperwork. Mm-hmm. So, you know, these magistrates and the rest of these people do not have an oath of office. The state law in Michigan does grant them the same power of a judge, but these people are not elected. And if they don't have an oath of office in place, I'm going to just ask you, look, have you sworn any oath to protect the Constitution of the United States and the state, my state? And if they say no, then I say, well, you know, I'm sorry, sir, I don't choose to contract with you because I don't believe in your integrity. You haven't sworn an oath to be accountable to anybody, so why would I want to contract with you at all?
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay, Harold, we have got about 9 minutes left here. I want you to talk a little bit about Hear Me TV.
Okay, HearMe.tv is a public resource. One of my men, I'm a webmaster. I got a million websites, but that one there is for the purpose of allowing people in their state to make a public presentation to their attorney general. So I have numerous videos there that are prepared for our attorney general, and I will on occasion take those videos and then put them on a DVD and send it by certified mail to the attorney general so we know that they got it and they watched it or they had the opportunity to watch it. So, you know, just for instance in my state, okay, the attorney general has done this listening tour, particularly related to probate issues, and, you know, heard everybody's horror stories. And then from then on, when she had public appearances, and even in those events, you know, they would let you speak for 3 minutes. There's no way you can account or recount half a decade of plunder of your estate in 3 minutes, okay? So this is an opportunity for you to openly speak, not only openly speak to your elected representatives, who you is your attorney general, the chief law enforcer of the state, but to let everybody else in the world know what you said to them so that they know that everybody else hears what you have said to them. So that if 100 people put videos up there complaining about the water, like in Flint, okay, and nothing is done about it, there's a public record of the fact that people, numerous people have complained about it. So if they don't do anything about it, it's going to make them look really bad, okay? So this is your opportunity to speak freely to your elected officials, and you can give us like 10 bucks, a whopping $10, you can make your own YouTube video, and then we'll take that video, and then we will place it on our playlist, and then make a playlist if you don't, you know, for your state, your particular state, so that they will be able to hear what it is that you have to say to them. Because generally, you know, if you have a problem, okay, the motto of HearMe.tv is this, okay, we hear you and so will the whole world. Because if you have a problem, okay, you can call all the major news stations in your city and county and area, okay? And don't hold your breath waiting for them to show up at your door with a news camera, okay? It's our media. This is the media of the people to allow us to speak our minds and have it heard, because in general, nobody else is going to listen, because most of the media outlets are in the pockets of the politicians, so they're not going to put anything out there that is going to be detrimental or in most instances truthful of what's actually happening. So this is an opportunity for everybody to get their voice heard.
That's great. I think that's great. And it's, I think, a good outlet too, Harold, because it does give them an access that they otherwise don't get. If it wasn't for shows like this one, Tanya's show, Luann Fleming's show, people would know virtually nothing about what's going on. And one of the things I think your program provides, we've heard all the horror stories. And it just seems to be never ending, and there seems to be no way out. Everywhere people have turned, they've been blocked, they have been persecuted, prosecuted, threatened, intimidated, harassed, you know, and it just goes on and on. But it wasn't until these shows started coming on air that this actually became public knowledge, something exactly they never thought that would happen. And your site adds to this. And having a place to post a video, more like a TV station, and post these videos and state your case and what has gone on, this is the last thing in the world these people want. It's like, I can't tell you how many times they've tried to shut down TS Radio, other radio stations, not because what we're saying is wrong, but it's because there's information coming out they don't want the public to know.
Because what you're saying is true.
Yes.
Just like just like docket tampering. I mean, this is, you know, and they say, oh, no, once something's in, you can't remove it. You know what? Let's have forensic audits on these things. You know, please don't, you know, just dribble comes out of their mouths because they're indoctrinated into doing that, or they lose their jobs or whatever. But they're just as guilty.
Yes, they are. Guilty. We've got just a few minutes left here, and we've got a caller on from area code 303. Did you have a question or comment for Harold?
Hi, Harold. This is Luann from Face Us Radio.
Oh, hey.
Hi, Marty.
Hey.
I don't know.
Hey,
hi, everybody.
Hi.
Yeah, dude. Just listening to the radio show, you guys are also excellent on this radio show. Harold, you've really, really touched on some really good things tonight. And I just wanted to comment on that very well done. You know, and Marty is, and Tanya and everybody is so right about how some of these radio shows are being targeted. And I had issues last week of our radio show up, and then Marty was, and we're like wondering what was going on with that. But we as a nation have to get up, and we have to speak out about what is going on. None of us have to be silent. And the more that people, speak up and talk about what's going on, the better for everybody.
It is.
So,
that was something you and I have talked about, Luann, is the fact that, you know, it's just like you and I, people say, oh, what are you talking to her for? That's your competition. That is not my competition. That's more help that we need. That is exactly what that is. I don't want to compete. And Luann doesn't
not
compete.
At all.
Tanya doesn't compete. What we're doing is we're all joining together and speaking out. And the more of us that speak out, the better off we are. And
Harold, your mother.
Go ahead.
Your mother, Harold, is she okay now?
No, I'm about to free her pretty soon because I'm going to use a complicated process, but I've actually formed my own tribe and gone the route of, tribal sovereignty. But, you know, I'm aware of who Face Us is. I'm aware of your Facebook page and your excellent work in the media area. And I have sent you, you're on my mailing list for announcing anything that I do. I would just advise you to just go ahead and check your email. But, you know, I'm very proud of the work that you do and your conferences and your online activities. So I'm well aware of who you are, and I consider you as a strong ally. So that's another great thing.
There you
Face
go.
Us. You know.
Yes. Well, we're down to about 2 minutes here, everybody. Harold, I want to thank you for coming on. This has gone way too fast. And we did cover a lot of ground, and I think people, we've got a full call board, and I'm getting tons of emails from people. So we do have a good audience that's listening to this. Now, Harold is selling this program, and like I say, I don't want to hear any griping and carrying on about, oh, you should give it away for free. This man worked for 5 years putting this together. He's sweating blood.
Let me tell you where to find it. So they'll know where to get it.
Okay,
It's at Harold. HaroldJackson-PAG.com. That's Private Attorney General. HaroldJackson-PAG.com. And this particular thing is under the left navigation bar where it says Become a Private Attorney General. So it's got the complete information.
Right.
It's got screenshots of what all the different areas of the software do. So just take a look at that up there, and you can get started and start enforcing the laws and have people's
And I'd like also to invite you to our radio show as well, if you would like. It's Face Us Radio. So FACEUS, Face Us Radio, Families Against Court Embezzlement and Ethical Standards Radio. But I'd like to invite you on there too, because the more we get the word out through all these radio shows, the better for everybody. It really is.
A little background here real quickly. I double-checked everything. Y'all know me. You know I will. And I spoke with a friend of mine who's a constitutional attorney who looked this over, and his response to me was, this is absolutely brilliant. And so that's all I need. We've got less than 60 seconds left here. everybody, thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for all the questions and the calls and everything. And Harold, we will be talking to you again, sweetie. And Tanya, yeah, thank you for co-hosting with me tonight. Luann, thank you. And we will see you all tomorrow night for the Hospice Betrayed Show. And good night, everybody.
Is that still on your page?
Yes.
Good night.
Yes. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay, good night, everyone.
Good night, Marty. Good night, Tanya. Good night, everybody.